Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the New Gas Regulation Conference Call. During today's presentation, all parties will be in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, the conference will be open for questions. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press the star followed by the 2. And if you're using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selection. This conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, June 16th, 2010. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Anna Fernandez. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for a discussion on REN's new gas regulation. I'm joined by João Conceição, who is the executive board member responsible for regulation. Pedro Furtado and Vitor Vieira, who are part of the regulation team here on REN, they'll make some comments and then we'll open for questions. Okay, I'll pass on to João Conceição.
Hello, good afternoon to you all. Well, first of all, I would like to say that we received this announcement from the regulator with some expectation, and overall we believe that the results are good results for REN, meaning that they give on one hand the right incentives for the company to go through the projects that the company is involved in trying to optimize its cost and to optimize its revenues. And on the other hand, they give the right regulatory incentives to keep on going with our main activity in the natural gas business, which, as well you know, it's a regulated activity. I would like to highlight three points, which we believe that are the most important ones from this regulation. First of all, AERS has set rate of return of 8% for our regulated asset base. This is a fixed rate for the period of 3 years. This is in a certain sense a good result, since it maintains the rate we had before, whereas the expectation we had days ago was that AERS could reduce this value. So in that sense, it's a good result. The second point I would like to highlight is the end of what they call the smoothing mechanism, and this is not more than a mechanism that would set a stable cash flow revenues during the depreciation period of the investment. You might ask why that is good, and the reason is simple, is that if we would have the absolute guarantee that this mechanism would stay as it is for all the lifetime period, it would be neutral, but unfortunately, since it would give a stable cash flow profile, in a certain moment in time, if we consider the depreciation effect, the real values the net asset base in a certain moment in time would cross this stable line of cash flows, which would give the regulator or the policymakers a strong incentive to force the smooth curve to converge to the non-smooth curve, meaning that in the medium-long term we would have a significant risk in terms of cash flows and in terms of revenue. So in that sense, we believe it's a good result that this mechanism has been abolished by the regulator, and from now on we will have for the pipes the complete unsmooth mechanism, and for the LNG terminal we will have a transition period where the smoothing period is significantly reduced and now is set for 7 years. Last but definitely not least, the regulator has set efficient incentives for regarding the OPEX costs, and that in our view is positive. on one hand because it gives the right incentives for the company to evolve and to optimize its costs, and secondly because at the level of targets that the regulator has set, in our opinion, are feasible ones, and we believe with the data we have today that we can manage to achieve them and even overtake them. So in that sense, we believe that these are good results. That overall is what I would like to sum up of what I would like to say, and we are now, I mean, at your entire disposal for any questions you might have.
It's Ana Fernandes again, just to tell you that we sent you an email with some information that we find useful to study now or after the call if you want. But we would open for questions.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press the star followed by the 2. And if you're using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for our first question. And our first question comes from the line of Dane Marco Bonacina with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. One main question. Why do you think that the regulator is giving a different rate of return in gas than in electricity, and in particular, why do you think that there is no link to the risk-free rate, which, as you know, is rising in Portugal, and also there are no incentives for new capex? Thank you.
Good afternoon, this is Pedro Furtado speaking. In fact, historically, since we are regulated since 2007, and historically we have had always a different rate of return from electricity. What the regulator has opted now to do was to keep the rate of return that they were using before, mainly because our opinion was to make this indexed, and we expressed this to the regulator, but there was a strong reaction from the consumers that in fact have a big influence over the regulator, and this has conditioned a little bit his behavior, and that's why we are having this. Anyway, as Mr. Conceição just referred, the expectation was that this being done, the rate of return would be lowered this year for this period, and there was a huge expectation for this, and we find that it was in fact very positive that we could convince the regulator and higher revenue to protect for any problems regarding this. But we are comfortable with the differences that we got. And I think the regulator also wants to keep the environment of the remuneration in the gas system with a certain hierarchy, and that's why, all in all, we are happy with what we've got.
If I may add something, Gianmarco, please recall that when the regulator gave an incentive to new investments, so an incentive to CAPEX on the electricity business, they also said they would give us reference costs. So one thing was subject to the other. While here, they didn't feel comfortable with giving us reference costs because there's not too many projects and the reference costs are much harder to determine. And for that reason, they decided it was not appropriate at this time to give us incentives, but they keep all the costs at accepted levels and not at standard levels.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Just a follow-up question. But why? What was the reason behind the risk of a cut in the rate below 8%, giving that in a way the rate of return is linked to the risk-free rate, and as we know, the risk-free rate in the recent months it has increased quite a lot.
Yeah, that's the problem. The consumers felt that with the risk-free rate growing, the rate of return for the gas year 11-12 would be higher than the one we have, than the 8%. And they didn't want to have returns increased from 8% in the next regulatory period.
Okay, but...
Stronger than we envisaged at first.
Okay, but what was the risk in terms of the cut? So I understand maybe not to increase, but why the risk of cutting the rate?
What?
Cutting your rate.
Cutting. The risk of cutting the rate was the there was this atmosphere of lower values. As you know, the our regulator uses the average of the last year for the risk-free rate, and with this interval and with the expectation of the lower Euribor, I don't know why the regulator and the consumers all wanted to lower the spread, and that was also a risk if we would index at this time with all this expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the what we understood was the target would be probably to 7.5, and we find as a good result that we were able to convince the regulator to keep the 8.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Fernando Garcia with Banco Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have two questions. The first one is a follow-up. Is that if you believe in the future for the future regulatory periods, we could have a similar regulatory that in the electricity regulation. The second one is regarding the efficiency gains. If you could provide us with some expectations on efficiency gains. Thank you.
Can you say it again, the first question, because we didn't get it?
Yeah, the first question it was regarding the it was a follow-up, in fact, of the previous question. Is if it's, you believe that in the future regulation for gas after this regulatory period could converge to the electricity regulation, so if this is an issue of learning for the Portuguese regulator. You have my second question, right?
Yeah, second question, we got it.
Well, to be honest, I personally believe that the regulator is open to index our revenue rate for the future period once they don't have so much pressure from the consumers. So I believe this will also mean that we will get a more mature environment to develop this. At this moment, as you know, the gas system is not so old in Portugal, and there are some things that are not fully developed, and the information is not well distributed and accessible to the regulator, and that's why I think in the next period we have a space to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Also the timing was not very good, because all these problems with Greece and the financial markets keep people more nervous and more irrational than they would be in normal terms, or not normal times, sorry. And so we think that in 3 years' time, conditions can be there for us to get a different type of regulation, and one more similar to what we have in electricity.
Regarding the second question about incentives, the regulator has stressed that they are doing this in as a first step, they didn't have time to study in depth everything they would like to regarding efficiency, but we are happy with what we've got. In fact, what the regulator is doing is to follow RPI-X model, and for the terminal, they have used 1% as an X factor for the development of the OPEX for the future. 1% is quite in line with our expectations and with what we can cope. And already, as explained in the memo we sent you, in line with our expectations internally. So we feel that we can comply with this. Regarding the transportation system, there are two major divisions. One, the transport tariff is subjected to efficiency, but the global system usage, and I believe you are aware of what it is not. So only the part related to the transportation tariff is affected by this incentive. In fact, the regulator has recognized that REN, although a regulated company, has made an effort in developing its costs in the past, and that's why for this moment, in fact, they are setting a 0% X factor for the 2 years that 2012 and 2013, and they introduced 3.8 for the years 2010 and 2011. And why am I speaking about all these years? As you know, we are based on the gas year system, and this means, according to the new regulations that were published early this year, that to calculate the gas year allowed returns, we have to use two civil years together. This means to get the allowed revenues for the gas year 2010-2011, we have to provide the calculation for the year 2010 and the calculation for the year 2011 and do this averaging. But that's only a technicality. In fact, in the end of the day, what they did was to provide this 3.8% first and then zero, recognizing that we made already a good effort doing our control of our costs.
Let me add, this is Robert Zizel speaking, let me add something which I believe is quite important. Applying these goals that Pedro has told you, we, from our forecast, we are in line with the numbers that the regulator comes up. And we are not applying in our forecast what we believe that are some space for improvement. And I give you an example. The terminal, for instance, a significant part of the OPEX of the terminal is the electricity costs on the process of putting the gas from the LNG into natural gas. And those electricity costs, for the moment, we are based on the regulated tariff for electricity. And in the couple of the last couple of months, the liberalized market for industrial customers, and for this purpose, we are an industrial customer.
Well, I think the speaker was commenting about my question. I don't know if he could finish. He was commenting about between basically the incentives. He was commenting about the industrial clients.
I was telling you. I mean, let me short to make it understandable. What I was saying is that for the terminal, the LNG terminal, we got the incentive of reducing 1%, the X factor by 1%. And what I was telling you is that a significant part of our OPEX in the terminal is the electricity costs. And for the moment, we are using the regulated tariff. But the latest months in Portugal, the liberalized market has decreased significantly. So there is a space for REN to try to get a contract in the liberalized market where the buffer is clearly above this 1%. just to give you an example, that now we have the right incentives to go forward and to try to see what is the best solutions in order to have the lowest cost. And this is an example, a practical example, how feasible it is to comply with these targets that the regulator has set us.
Let me just add something. When you look at the numbers for 2009 and the numbers for 2010, it seems like 11% is a lot. The problem is the numbers we have internally are our budget, and our budget is very similar to the numbers as published for the 2010-2011 regulatory period, and we still think there's room for improvement.
Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press the star followed by the one at this time. If you are using a speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before pressing the numbers. And our next question comes from the line of Flora Tringad with BPI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is if you could give us the amount of controllable costs in transport. I believe that the regulator document talked about a 14% reduction in controllable costs, so I was trying to reconcile this with the RPI minus 3.8% you've mentioned in the mail. And then I would also like to have your feedback on whether you think that this regulation has any impact on your investment forecast for the gas business. Thank you.
Well, now we are getting into the details. In fact, the information from ERSE is quite tricky to interpret because it's not clear. And I recognize that there's a lot of work to be done there in terms of understanding exactly what they mean. We did our part, and we must be careful with when ERSE speaks about 14%. They are doing that in the press release for a specific public, which are the consumers in general. In fact, what they did was a construction about the costs, because they realized that in fact REN in the past was reducing its costs, and that was a voluntary movement they had to recognize. They had to show something, and that's why they came up with some costs that we have presented in terms of budget that have been not yet confirmed, and that's why they went back to 2008 and to the amount we had in 2008. And in the meanwhile, a lot of things happened in terms of how we process our own costs. And in fact, in reality, this reduction is already in our budget. The problem is they wanted to show something, and that's why they pop up the 14% without showing, and this gives them the opportunity to, inside the text, give this trend towards the zero without being too unpopular. So we believe that this is positive, and it's not away from our budget, as I mentioned before. And this gets more complex if you will be able to read, and sorry that it is in Portuguese, the pages that we have sent you, you will be able to see that this RPI minus X extends to different flavors. We have a fixed part, and we have another part that is indexed to the infrastructure capacity, or so that's rather complex. Anyway, we are willing and able to explain everything and to try to help you to reconcile the numbers whenever you need and fit and see necessary.
Regarding our second question, this is João Conceição speaking again. Let me tell you this, we obviously are going to be monitorizing the evolution of our walk and compare it to this 8%. If we now believe that we still have a buffer, so with the information we have now, we will go through the investments. Obviously, in the meantime, during this period, if we see that the things change, we will revise our investment plan. But for the moment, I would say that we will continue with our investment plan as we said before.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Nganji Djiboka with Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just one question on the positive effect of the incentives. Just want to have an overall picture of the way it works, because the way I understand it is that you apply X factor to the evolution of your allowed OPEX. So for me, it means that your allowed OPEX will be reduced by inflation minus this X factor. So what I understand is that what you can earn from this incentive is just the difference between the allowed OPEX reduction and the effective operating cost realized. So I just wanted to know, to understand how it works, first of all, overall, and secondly, what is your leeway, you know, to, I mean, maybe you can save only 50% of what you earn compared to the allowed OPEX, and yeah, and that's it.
Well, it's the incentive is over mm-hmm. the global OPEX. And still finishing the answer that I was to the other question, the controllable costs at this moment, as sees it, they are considering in fact all the costs, all mm-hmm. the OPEX inside this exercise, and basically you get 3.8%. For the two consecutive years, 2010 and 2011, to understand the amount, and this is based on the estimates that were done before by ERSE, and it's you can see its effect in the data that we have finalized to you in the memo that we have sent. You can see for this only applies, of course, to the infrastructures that are connected to this efficiency improvement. You can see on page 44 of the link that we sent you the description of how the efficiency works. It's mm-hmm. rather difficult to explain all this by phone. But I can tell you also that on page 44 there is a mistake. Instead of 35%, it's 30%, one of the first percentage that appears there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, by this you can see how they have presented the way they calculate this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it will apply 3.8% and afterwards it's 1%. Zero, sorry. And for the GNL is 1% throughout the period.
So just one precision, if I tell you that the effect of the X factor will be negative on the allowed OPEX, am I correct or not?
It will be a reduction of the allowed OPEX, yes,
yes,
but we are ready for it, and as Mr. Costison said, it's in line with our own budgets, and we feel comfortable with this as it is.
Andy, in terms of EBITDA, we should even have a positive effect, so the revenues will be lower, but also the costs will be lower. So in the end, I mean, we're talking about a zero effect or a small positive effect, as Ron was mentioning with the electricity of the LNG terminal example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, but in terms of EBITDA, there's no significant impact. On the contrary, if there's an impact, it's a positive one.
Okay.
I would like to stress that the regulator went to a significant effort to be able to publish 0%, and I think this is positive.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay. If there are no further questions, you know we're always here to help you with any questions you may have in the future. Thank you very much for joining us today. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the New Gas Regulation conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you for using ACT conferencing.